Great, Steve. Thanks. Good afternoon, everybody. It's terrific to be here. And as Steve said, my name is Vic Abate. I head the renewables business and energy. And I've been in energy now 21 years, all with GE here. And the last six, I've been running this business. And prior to that, I came from engineering. I was the vice president of technology in Core Power Gen. And the reason I walk you through that is that really illustrates the core of our strategy for renewables is you look back in the 2000-2002 timeframe, we felt this was something we could make really big with an introduction of technology. You look back in 2002, we acquired Enron's bankrupt wind asset for about $250 million. And today, with the interjection of $2 billion of R&D and some disciplines from core GE technology platforms, we now have a $6 billion differentiated franchise with the world's most efficient and reliable fleet out there. Today, we have 17,000 units running at 98.5% availability. If you look back just 5 years ago, that number was 85%. So this is continuing to drive the differentiation and the value proposition for our customers. And in our view, we're just getting started, and I'll show you some of the plays that we have on the horizon as well as some of the activity with our new products and the bullishness we have there. We're going to run that same play in solar. We announced in May the intention to build a 400-megawatt, this country's largest solar factory. We'll talk a little more about that. But we've broken the record on thin film efficiency. And many of you have read the solar industry has some very trying times as of late. I think that illustrates if you don't have the right technology and the right strategy, you're not going to be sustainable. And clearly, you look back in 07, you could sell solar modules for $4 a watt. Today, if you don't have a cost position well under $1 a watt, you're not going to be sustainable. And we believe with thin film and our acquisition of PrimeStar plus 250 GE scientists, we're on the path to have a differentiated position, and now we're building the scale with our focus on a new factory. Just on renewables, let's just take a look at the market. If anybody tells you they believe renewables are a niche play, they're just not looking at the data. The fact is, to the left here, you can see this industry, really driven by wind, but if you look at wind and solar in aggregate, has doubled every 3 years for a decade. And over the past 3 years, 40% of all new electrical generation that plugged into the U.S. and Europe grid has been wind power. And over the next 3 years, we see that continuing with a $200 billion plus opportunity. And if you look globally, take all the economies around the world, wind has made up 20% of all installations. So this is a massive market. Now, the flip side is today on a terawatt-hour basis, less than 3% of all electricity comes from wind and solar. So tremendous upside with targets of 20% in Europe, 150 gigawatts in China, and 119 countries have clear goals and objectives to get the double-digit penetration of renewables. And just to put it in perspective, every point the world wants to go more renewable, if you do it with wind, you need 40,000 wind turbines. If you want to move a point with solar, you need 600 million solar panels. So the demand profile for this is massive in our view, and we see it as a multi-generational build-out. Today we have a $6 billion platform with about 3,000 units a year. So that gives you a sense for the upside that we see long-term and why we're so bullish on the space. Now, this hasn't happened by accident. The fact is, John talked about the challenges with subsidies and how we see the dynamics in governments. We've navigated through that in the last decade. But really, the prevailing position here, and I think the key around the core technology play, is how do we get renewables to stand on their own 2 feet and become more and more competitive with time? And the chart on the right shows exactly what's happened with wind. If you look in 2012, unsubsidized wind landing in the United States is 5 cents a kilowatt hour. If you put the PTC on that, there's utilities signing up contracts for 2012 for $30 a megawatt hour for the next 20 years. So this is competitive power, and it's really only capable with the latest technology that we have here at GE relative to meeting some of those targets. And this chart shows you the one that we're currently the most excited about, which is the 16100. This machine was built off of the legacy of the 17,000 1.5-megawatt machines we have running today. And in May, we introduced this, what we call game-changing technology, and our customers have talked about it as a game-changing capacity factor machine, into the market. It currently is 7% more efficient than any machine out there, its nearest competitor. And from the original Enron machine, it's 50% more power and 35% more efficient than the machines that we were shipping in 2005. So based on that, what does it mean? If you take the 16100 and bring it to the market against the next competitor, your project has 2 points of IRR advantage over the nearest competitor product out there. And as a result, we've been running the table. We introduced this in May. Fact is, we have over 1,250 machines under contract, and currently the customers are seeing this open up applications that they just couldn't see the economics working without technology like this. The 275103 is our multi-megawatt platform. That's off of the 2.5-megawatt machine. We've expanded that. We've upgraded it 10%, increased the rotor diameter, can still fit within the permitting applications that the European customers have. But you talk about size and scale. We're currently shipping 25 units a month. We'll do that for about 2 years out to Oregon, building the world's largest wind farm, which is nearly the size of a nuclear plant at about 850 megawatts. That's in the U.S. In Europe, in Romania, this first quarter, we just commissioned a 300-megawatt wind farm in Romania. That's expanding to 600 megawatts. So we have Europe's largest wind farm in Eastern Europe, which is one of the fastest growth segments. So extremely well positioned there. And the chart on the left, what that shows you is really how technology is making a difference. When you look at renewable industry, the fuel is free. So the economics are pretty straightforward. How do you take that free fuel and convert it into megawatts and do more of that over time? Back in 2005, our 1.5-megawatt machine was about 420 homes. Today, with the latest 16100 technology, in Class 3 wind is 700 homes. So that's the value that we're able to monetize and get the value for. Just one last point, just to put it in perspective how fast this industry is changing. If you take Germany, which has about 30 gigawatts of wind installed, and that country really led a lot of the development of this technology. Today, their capacity factor of their sites, the efficiency of the country, is about 20%. If you took and installed 16100 in Germany in place of what's there today, you double the terawatt hours that went to the grid in that country with this technology. So that's how fast and how aggressive we've been able to move the needle with taking our core technologies and moving it forward. What does great product launches do for you? It gives you a great opportunity to mine the installed base. Today we have 17,000 wind turbines. When we acquired the business, there was less than 1,000. You know, this number will be 20,000 in the near term, and we see it being 30,000 just in a couple of years. So this is a great opportunity. The CAGR has been 40% on our installed base. And when you actually look at what the value is, a one-point change in output is worth $300 million of value to our customers. So just an example. If you take, for us, we have a software improvement we call WindBoost. You take the 16100 technology and some of the controls that allow that machine to be efficient. We apply that to existing wind farms. You can get 3.5% to 4% more production. That's a billion-dollar idea. Today, our engineers have 52 of these ideas in the hopper, and customers are coming to us to look to how do they get more out of their wind farms. So when you think about a risk-adjusted return, the development risk is gone, the wind risk is gone, the weather risk is gone, you know the PPA. So the economics are pretty well understood. If you bring this to market, it's a very easy discussion with a customer, especially with advancements that we just talked about. One other point, which is extremely important, is the distributed nature of wind. You don't have a nuclear plant sitting in one spot. These are all over the countryside. So the ability to work electronically from a control center has huge productivity advantages. If I was to ask every customer to put a sticker inside the 17,000 wind turbines that they own that said I was here, the cost to do that is $20 million. Now, the fact is, I can do that electronically every day. And turbines come offline, they trip. Instead of dispatching people to the site, you need three people when you do it, because two to climb for OSHA, confined space and all that. Four out of five issues that happen on wind farms today, we solve in less than 10 minutes from either Schenectady, New York, or Salzburg in Germany with control centers. And so customers are seeing that capability as a huge advantage on productivity. And this is also how we've been able to get to the world's leading reliability of 98.5%, which that'll rival steam, nuclear, gas, any mature power generation technology out there, and that's been our goal from day one. A lot of discussion on quality. You know, I don't have a pointer, so I'll try to explain this. But the fact is, now that the industry is accustomed to 98 traditional thermal power generation reliability levels, the risk of getting it wrong is extremely high. If you take a wind farm that's running at 98.5 and have it drop to 85 to 90% availability, you'll lose 80% of that investment. it'll drop the IRR by 4 points. And how these are often levered, there's no money left. So it completely can bankrupt the owner of these assets if you have a quality problem. And if you look back, gears were a nemesis of this industry back in 2000. We changed the standard with hull testing. If you look at blades, there's been blade issues and those kinds of challenges. We've changed the game with some of our manufacturing processes and technology. And here's an example. We had for our 16100, remember this is a 100-meter diameter rotor. You turn it vertical, slide it 25 stories in there, and you get enough power for 700 homes. That, the loads on this, while you look at it from a distance, appear to be relatively simple. I'll show you they're massive. And inside the structure are blind connections, similar to a beam on a bridge. And on the right, what you can see is an I-beam, which is a structural element in the blade. And then you have what's called a spar cap, which is the top. This is made of advanced composite materials. This is the structural piece. And like a weld, you need to connect the two. And that's done blind in the process. You can see the GE machine with 20-year life, that bond, and that's special epoxies and temperatures and process controls. Here's a competitor OEM, a Chinese OEM, a third-party section. The bond isn't even connected. So when you look at what's the life of that blade, what's the life of that asset, and we've instituted testing where this is something we do 2 million times for every supplier, every design, and every certification. And in the industry, we're setting the standard. So we continue to do this with gears, we continue to do it with pitch drives, we continue to do it with blades, and you can see what it means for the value of the asset. And we believe customers buy quality. And at the end of the day, this is going to make or break a wind farm, and you have to be with a tier one supplier, in particular a GE, to be guaranteed that these kind of quality levels can be maintained over the 20-year asset. We're investing for bold moves. We talked a lot about the key products that are in the market today. We have an offshore platform. Extremely excited about that. It's a 4-1 megawatt machine with 113-meter rotor. That's going to be put up this fall in Sweden. And this was part of our Scandwind acquisition. It's a direct drive platform. And to be honest, the offshore space, you know, over the last 150 gigawatts of wind that got installed, 148 and a half of it was onshore. So it's not like the offshore market was that big historically. And looking forward, if anything, it appears to even be slower and sliding to the right. But we are positioned, and we believe that the offshore market that will move first will be the most cost-effective, and that tends to be lower, shallower water, closer to shore with monopile foundations, because they're the most cost-effective. For that application, we have the most output with this machine of anybody else in the industry. And so we think we're well-positioned there, especially with direct drive. We have unique reliability characteristics. We've also, you know, there's discussions between a 5-megawatt, a 6-megawatt, different machines. We've done studies. The only way you can really change the paradigm from a turbine perspective, in our view, to really change the cost in a significant way is you got to think different. And so we've got our scientists looking at 15-megawatt concepts with advanced nanomaterials for blades, superconducting generators for improved efficiencies and the like, and we're excited about that. And just to close, we're looking at the bold moves in wind and solar. We've been doing the same thing with, as I said, 250 scientists. But we've been able to do by teaming up with PrimeStar, which was a thin film company out in Colorado next to the National Renewable Energy Lab, is in record time the industry. We've been able to demonstrate that we're able to move efficiency, which is, you know, the top parameter for differentiated performance. A one-point change in efficiency of a solar panel changes the economics of utility-scale solar by about 10%. So here we are with an industry that progressed at a rate of about a half a point of efficiency improvement a year. We got involved with this in the 2007, 2008 timeframe, and since then we've been able to move that at four times the rate with 2 points of efficiency a year and broke the world's record late last year at over 12.8%. We've since had additional modules over 13, and we're launching our factory in the U.S., which the announcement will be, you know, within the next 30, 45 days, we're right at the tail end of wrapping that location up, 14% target. And when you look at today with thin film, most of it's being shipped in the 10 to 11, 11 and a half range. We feel very comfortable that we'll be differentiated and positioned well for the long term, and excited about the position there. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Steve just to wrap it up for Final Water.
Good. Thank you. So just to wrap up, hope you get a sense for why we're excited about this $25 billion franchise we have. And the strategy we've been running is pretty clear. And if I were to just touch on two of these, the big focus has been on leading technology and product manufacturing. And the result of that increased investment over the course of the last decade has led to the best product lineup I've seen in this business over the last 18 years. And it's positioned us to rival anything competitively in the market space. And I think the second side of this is in terms of large installed base, we're positioned to continue to scale out our service business. And as the industry shifts more to a gas cycle, remember that 50% of all land-based gas turbines in the world are GE. So as we continue to invest to improve that asset productivity for our customers, we can help capture some of that value within the company. And what that leads us with from an investor perspective is a $25 billion franchise, which as we step forward, visible top-line growth as the markets are improving, a growing backlog, in a sustained high-return business to General Electric. So with that, we're going to transition here, and I'll turn it over to Dan Heintzman to give you an overview of oil and gas.